I need you to picture something with me. 300 biplanes, all of them yellow, lined up wingtip to wingtip on a grass field in the middle of Illinois. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar, and I'm standing on the ramp at Galesburg Municipal Airport, losing my mind. I am not kidding. I have been to a lot of fly-ins, a lot, and nothing. Nothing looks like this. It is a sea of yellow. Sturman yellow, that unmistakable training yellow that the Army Air Corps slathered on every single one of these biplanes back in the 1940s. And here they are, 80-something years later, still flying, still gorgeous, and they have all come home to Galesburg for the National Stearman Fly-In. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com.
Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So let me set the scene for you, because this place deserves it. Galesburg sits about halfway between Peoria and the Quad Cities in western Illinois. Flat corn country, the kind of place where the horizon just goes and goes, and you can see weather coming from 50 miles out. The airport is a little two-runway field, identifier GBG, and for 51 weeks out of the year, it is a quiet general aviation airport. Nice folks, good fuel prices, not much fanfare, but for 1 week every September, this place transforms into the largest gathering of Boeing Stearman biplanes anywhere on the planet, and I mean anywhere. There is no other event like this. The Stearmans start arriving days before the official kickoff. You will be sitting in the FBO having coffee on a Tuesday morning, and you hear that unmistakable sound, that Continental or Lycoming radial just hammering away. You look up and here comes a Stearman on a long, straight-in approach. The pilot up there in an open cockpit with goggles and a leather helmet, and you think, okay, that is cool. And then another one comes in behind it and another.
And by Wednesday afternoon, the transient ramp looks like a 1942 primary flight training base, and the sound never stops.
Let me talk about the airplane for a second, because the Stearman deserves it. The Boeing/Stearman Model 75 was the primary trainer for both the Army Air Corps and the Navy during World War II. Over 10,000 of them were built. 10,000, Cadet was the Army name. The Navy guys called theirs the N2S. And almost every single American military pilot who flew in that war, from fighter jocks to bomber crews, started right here. In one of these yellow biplanes, two open cockpits, tandem seating, a big radial engine up front, and absolutely zero electronics. You flew this thing with your hands and your feet and your gut, no attitude indicator, no GPS. You looked outside, you felt the airplane, and you learned to fly or you washed out. The beautiful thing about the Stearman is that it survived. A lot of World War II trainers got scrapped after the war, but the Stearman was just too useful. Crop dusters bought them by the hundreds, barnstormers grabbed them, sport pilots loved them, and so while a lot of warbirds exist now in ones and twos, the Stearman community is enormous. There are still somewhere around 1,000 of them flying today. 1,000, and every September a huge chunk of that fleet descends on Little Galesburg, Illinois. I was walking the flight line this morning, and I want to tell you about a guy I met named Dale. Dale is 78 years old. He flew in from Bartlesville, Oklahoma, in a 1943 Stearman that his father bought surplus in 1946 for $500. His dad used it to dust cotton fields in eastern Oklahoma. Dale grew up sitting on his dad's lap in the front cockpit. He soloed the airplane when he was 14, which, yes, was technically illegal, but it was rural Oklahoma in the 1960s, and nobody was checking. He has been flying this same airplane for over 60 years. Same airplane, same engine. He has overhauled that Continental W670, I don't even know how many times. The fabric has been recovered twice, the fuselage has been stripped and repainted three times, but the wood, the spruce structure underneath, is original. 1943 spruce.
And here is what got me.
Dale told me his dad used to say the airplane would tell you what it needed if you just listened. And Dale still does that. He walks out to the airplane every morning at this fly-in, puts his hand on the lower wing and just stands there for a minute, just feeling it, checking the fabric tension, listening to the wind in the wires, he said. Ramp. This airplane has more flying hours than most airliners and she still wants to go. She still wants to go. I almost cried on the ramp. I'm not even going to pretend I didn't get emotional about that. The fly-in itself is a full week of events, and I want to walk you through what a typical day looks like, because it is unlike any other aviation gathering. Morning start early, like sunrise early. The stairman pilots are out on the field doing their pre-flights while the dew is still on the grass. You can hear radial engines coughing to life all across the airport. That Continental seven-cylinder bark, and then the smooth idle. Multiply that by a dozen airplanes starting up at once, and it is a symphony. A loud, smoky, magnificent symphony. There is a morning formation flight almost every day, and this is where it gets absolutely wild. Imagine 20, 30, sometimes 40, stairmans taking off in sequence from the grass runway, one after another after another. They form up over the cornfields and fly a big circuit around Galesburg. From the ground it looks like a swarm of golden bees. From inside the formation, I am told, it is pure magic. You are looking left and right at airplanes that are identical to yours, all of them bouncing gently in the morning thermals, all of them painted that same yellow. And you realize you are part of something that connects all the way back to 1941.
The afternoons are for the ramp walk, and this is my favorite part. You just wonder, that is it. You walk from airplane to airplane, and every single one has a story. This one was a crop duster in Arkansas for 30 years. That one was found in a barn in Nebraska with chickens roosting on the upper wing. This gorgeous red and yellow one over here was restored over 7 years by a retired airline captain who did every stitch of fabric work himself in his garage in Minnesota. 7 years, and now it looks like it just rolled off the Boeing Wichita line. You have to see the variety. Not every stairman here is yellow, oh no. Some owners have gone wild with custom paint schemes. I saw a beautiful navy blue and silver one with full 1943 Navy markings. There is a bright red one with a polished aluminum cowling that catches the sun and blinds you from two rows over. Someone brought one painted in Royal Canadian Air Force colors, and then there are the hot rods, the modified stairmans, guys who have swapped the original 220 horsepower Continental for a 450 horsepower Pratt and Whitney Wasp Jr. 450. In a biplane that weighs 2,700 pounds, these things climb like they are on a rope. I watched one take off, and it was nose up, gear up, gone, just gone into the sky like it had somewhere extremely important to be.
There is a flower bombing competition, and I have to tell you about it, because it is one of the most ridiculous and wonderful things in aviation. The concept is simple. You fly over a target on the ground, and you drop a bag of flour, and you try to hit the bullseye. Easy, right? No, it is not easy. The wind is doing things, your altitude is changing, your speed is variable, and you're hanging over the side of an open cockpit trying to eyeball a white circle on a green field while flying an airplane with no autopilot and a lot of opinions about which direction it wants to go. The scoring is hilarious. Some bags hit dead center, some bags land in the next county. The crowd on the ground absolutely loves it. Every near miss gets a groan, every direct hit gets a roar. It is pure grassroots aviation fun, and I was laughing so hard my face hurt. The evening is where the magic really settles in, the flying stops, the engines cool down, and everybody gathers. There are campfires along the edge of the field. People pull lawn chairs out from under their wings, because, yes, a lot of these pilots camp under their stermans. They fly in, they stake down the wings, they throw a sleeping bag under the fuselage, and that is their hotel for the week. You walk through the camping area at dusk, and it smells like avgas and grilled burgers and cut grass, and it is just the most perfect aviation atmosphere you can imagine. The stories at night are incredible. I sat in on a circle of about 15 pilots, and one of them, a woman named Jackie from outside Wichita, told us about the time she flew her stairman through a snow squall over Kansas. She said the ice started forming on the flying wires, and she could hear them singing. The wires were singing a different pitch as the ice changed their diameter. She said she flew by ear for about 20 minutes, descending slowly until she broke out underneath and found a highway to follow to the nearest airport. Just her and the airplane and the singing wires. Everyone around that campfire was dead quiet. That is the kind of story you only hear at a stairman fly-in.
Let me tell you about the short takeoff and landing competition, because it is hilarious to watch in a stairman. These airplanes were not designed to be short-field machines. They are big. The wingspan is over 32 feet on the upper wing alone. They are draggy, they are heavy for a biplane, but these pilots know their machines so well that some of them can put it down and stop in distances that would make a bush pilot nod respectfully. The technique is all about nailing that speed on the numbers, too fast and you float forever. too slow. And, well, it is a biplane. You just kind of mush onto the ground, and that works too, actually. The crowd lines up along the edge of the grass strip and measures the landing roll, and the winner usually gets a trophy and bragging rights that last exactly 1 year until the next fly-in. I want to mention something that really struck me about this event. The demographics are changing. For years, the Stearman community skewed older. These were guys who had owned their airplanes for decades, but I'm seeing younger pilots here, 30s, even 20s, a couple from Michigan, both in their early 30s, just bought a Project Stearman, and this is their first fly-in. They are here to learn, to meet the old hands, to figure out how to rig the flying wires and how to mix the dope for fabric covering and how to time a Continental radial. And the older pilots are so generous with their knowledge. I watched a 70-year-old mechanic spend 45 minutes showing this young couple how to safety wire an oil screen cover. 45 minutes, patient as can be, that is how this knowledge gets passed down, airplane to airplane, hand to hand, generation to generation, and it is happening right here on this grass field in Illinois.
The logistics of this event are something else. Galesburg Municipal is not a big airport. They have to coordinate hundreds of biplane arrivals with normal airport traffic. The CTAF frequency gets busy, really busy. You will hear call after call. Stearman 6 miles south, inbound Galesburg, Stearman 4 miles east, will enter left downwind Galesburg, and then someone in a Cirrus has to figure out how to sequence themselves between 15 biplanes doing 70 knots on final. The controllers, or really the volunteer traffic advisers, since this is a non-towered field, do an amazing job. Patience is the key. Everybody slows down, everybody cooperates, everybody gives way. It is the most polite radio frequency in aviation for 1 week a year. If you are thinking about going, and you should be thinking about going, here's what you need to know. The fly-in typically runs in early September. You do not need to own a Stearman to attend. You do not even need to fly in. Drive if you have to. Walk the ramp, talk to the owners, eat the pancake breakfast, because yes, there is a pancake breakfast, and it is exactly as good as every other aviation pancake breakfast, which is to say surprisingly great. If you do fly in, be aware that ramp space fills up fast and the grass can get soft if it has rained. Galesburg has fuel available, but with 300 thirsty radial engines in town, you might want to top off before you arrive. The National Stearman Fly-In is in its 40th year, and it shows no signs of slowing down. If anything, it is getting bigger, more airplanes, more people, more stories, and yet it somehow keeps that small-town grassroots come-as-you-are feeling that makes general aviation special. This is not a military demonstration with crowd lines and barriers. This is people and airplanes and grass and sky and the shared understanding that these machines connect us to something bigger than ourselves. This is incredible. I'm standing here watching the last formation flight of the day come back in, and the light is going golden, and these yellow biplanes are silhouetted against an Illinois sunset, and I genuinely do not want to leave. Much of what I shared today comes from the National Stearman Fly-In Association and conversations right here on the flight line. More at radiohangar.com. See you on the ramp.